Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Yeah, it could happen here. That's the podcast that you're listening to. It's a news podcast about shit falling apart. That's the only intro you're going to get because Garrison is right now in the city of Atlanta, Georgia, reporting on the continuing Stop Cop City protests. Garrison's done a number of scripted episodes covering these in detail over the last year and change. They're in the thick of it right now, so I'm just going to bring them and a friend on to talk about what has been happening this week.
Yes.
That's your cue.
This week is a special week because this is the fifth week of action that has happened here in Atlanta as a part of the Stop Cop City and Defend the Atlanta Forest movement. This episode is going to be like a midweek update because this week of action is still very much ongoing. There's still many days that things can happen with, but a lot has already happened in these first few days anyway. So we're going to kind of do a quick little update, and then a more comprehensive piece will be later down the line. But with me here to help talk about what's gone down so far is someone from the Atlanta Community Press Collective, Clark. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So
thanks for being on.
Yeah, we've been kind of teamed up the past few days here as many things, both silly and serious, have taken place across Atlanta.
Yeah,
safety in numbers.
It's
always nice to have friends when you're watching jackbooted thugs go fucking apeshit with all of their new toys.
And I mean, I think that is part of the Week of Action idea, is getting as many people here as possible, and hopefully some of that makes some people more safe. That's something that we'll probably talk more in detail later when we have kind of hindsight. But I guess today let's just start on what's kind of happened so far chronologically. I guess starting on Saturday, I met you Saturday for a rally at Gresham Park. I think it's where we first met up this week.
Yes, we met at the rally at Gresham Park, which had about, I would say, an hour's worth of speeches before they kicked off a march down the bike path from Gresham Park to what the activists call Wilani People's Park, which is the site of the protest beforehand. So the forest around it had been unoccupied since the raid in January that saw the killing of Tortuguita. So this was the first sort of permanent return to the forest. So we took a I don't know, 40-minute march down the path, and then landed in Wilani People's Park. They had one more little round of chants with a promise to defend the forest, and then they broke off, and everything was a nice, really relaxing day.
Yeah, it was a pretty positive start to the week of action. People essentially retook Wilani People's Park and started to go into the forest once again. Camp got set up in the forest. Lots of people from both in town and folks from out of town started to camp in the woods again. And then in the hours after this small march, people started to prepare for the music festival, which was planned like a few hundred feet away from Wilani People's Park, I guess, inside like a more like open field area. And music festival went off without a hitch the first day. It was pretty rad.
Yeah, I think there was about 500 people that first night of the music festival.
Yeah.
The vibes were great. Everyone was having a fun time. I think it went on until about 1 a.m. And I don't think the first day could have gone better.
I think it went on till about 4 a.m.
Okay, well, I went to bed at 1 a.m.
I did not go to bed at 1 a.m. I was at the music festival quite a bit longer.
I'm quite a bit older, and I think that was the reason I had to leave.
So Garrison doesn't understand things like needing sleep yet.
So
give
him
another year or two before they hit that sweet, sweet wall.
So true.
Mm-hmm. Then I'll have to find another teenager to go do journalism.
just every like 4 or 5 years, you just find a new one.
Yeah, just keep re-upping like Leo DiCaprio.
Perfect.
So the first day was pretty good. There was no substantial police response that I saw. Police kind of left people alone in the forest. The march from Gresham Park was fine. And people got to spend a night in the woods again, which, you know, we had not had that many people in the woods in like months.
This is, it should be said, like camping and a music festival, but it's like relatively high risk because people have gotten significant charges just for camping in the woods in the past.
Yes.
And the very recent past.
Some of the warrants that have been issued that justify the charges like domestic terrorism have included things such as sleeping in a hammock with someone else in the forest. And that's the reason why they're getting charged as a domestic terrorist. So, yeah, it is a music festival. People are camping. It's kind of chill. But also there's absolutely this kind of ever present kind of fear that despite what is being done being pretty kind of like normal and not in and of itself militant or radical, still the consequences from the state are kind of always looming.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback
with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Which kind of leads us to Sunday.
Yeah.
Which picks up exactly where we left off.
Yes.
So I got there around noon on Sunday.
Same.
I think. And the first thing we see is a bouncy castle.
Large bouncy castle in front of the music festival. It has a big Stop Cop City banner. Massive multicolored bouncy castle. People are having a pretty good time.
Yeah, as soon as they finished setting up the bouncy castle, it was filled and everyone, I think there were about 7,500 people just set up on blankets around the stage.
Initially, and I think in the next few hours, that definitely grew to being hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people returning to the music festival for the second day. I mean, I think the march on Saturday was anywhere between like... I saw estimates of anywhere between 500 to 1,000 people. Music festival seems to be like over 500 people. And then on the second day of the music festival, it slowly grew in size to, again, being hundreds and hundreds of people. And it started off just kind of continuing on with the music, continuing on with people having nice times in the woods. I walked around the campsites, had conversations with people talking about all sorts of anarchy related things. And then there slowly throughout the day, I think that this was posted on social media as well. There was a plan for a rally at 5 p.m. to meet on part of the field that the music festival was also happening on. By the time that happened, people met up. The group that kind of converged was in a mix of black block, camo block, so like people like covered head to toe in various camo print. And they set off from the RC field where the music festival was at. So they left, they went down Boulder Crest Road to the section of the woods called the Power Line Cut. So to understand what is going on here, you kind of have to understand some of the geography of the Wolani Forest. So we have like the Wolani People's Park parking lot and that immediate kind of campsite. This is like the easternmost part. And then there's the RC field, which is just like right next to that to the west. And then even west of that is Entrenchment Creek. And Entrenchment Creek kind of divides up this section of the forest. And then everything west of Entrenchment Creek is generally referred to as like the old Atlanta prison farm area. And the power line cut is pretty close to the creek, and that is kind of where this prison farm section is. And this is an area of the woods that cops have been more rigorous about policing, more rigorous about surveilling, more rigorous about having kind of constant surveillance and people on the ground. It's estimated that they're spending over $40,000 a day running security on this part of the woods. So yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
see, people... and for that amount of money, they could hire like more people than are on the police force if they just used Fiverr. You know, that's really the tactic they ought to be embracing.
And I think if they had used Fiverr, they might have had enough people to counter the protesters. But the overbloated police salaries, they only had like 20 people there.
Yeah, they did not have many. So this group set down Boulder Crest. They marched up the power line cut. They laid out like tire barricades in the street. And then upon them marching on the power line cut, after they arrived near the police surveillance setup that we just mentioned, some of the equipment somehow burst into flames. People have blamed like shoddy construction. People have said that, you know, sometimes equipment just does that. But yes, no. So people set a whole bunch of police infrastructure on fire, set some construction equipment on fire that is being used to destroy sections of the forest where they want to build Cop City. Police were repelled with stuff like rocks and fireworks. The cops that were stationed there very quickly retreated. I think lots of stuff was set on fire. There was the surveillance tower was set on fire. A bulldozer was set on fire.
Well, I mean, it's winter. People need fires to camp comfortably. I understand.
UTV was some kind of like a big trailer, like storage unit thing was set on fire.
Yes, and the cops were very worried about that. They didn't know if there was flammable material inside that.
You wouldn't store flammable materials in an easily accessible area.
We shut down an entire interstate because we did that a few years ago. So we would in Atlanta.
Atlanta would. All of Atlanta collectively. So this happened. A thermal chopper from a thermal police helicopter was watching all of this.
And honestly, the footage is pretty interesting.
It is worth discussing how this type of surveillance works.
Almost the same thermal cameras that are on the Bayraktar drones that Turkey makes, by the way.
It's pretty
Foucault's boomerang. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's pretty frightening with their ability to track individual people.
I also think it's worth because there's video of the cops being pelted with stuff, including fireworks. I think it's worth noting that, like, while it is unpleasant to be pelted with the kind of stuff the cops were pelted with, you and I have both been pelted with numerous fireworks of similar size, and it is not a serious threat to life and limb.
No, we survive. Yeah, but
it's modestly unpleasant.
But the cops that were there were not very happy about it. They put out calls for officer in need of support and for all available units in the greater Atlanta area to converge on the forest. People who marched to this section of the power line cut started to disperse throughout the woods. And I was back by the road watching this from hundreds and hundreds of feet away because I did not need to go up there. That would not have been helpful in any way. As this was happening, a whole bunch of police cars zoomed by. So I started following those cars. I went back to the music festival. I met up with some other media people that I was communicating with, and then I got a text message saying that a cop showed up in the parking lot of the Waolani People's Park with an AR-15. I start making my way over, and then as I'm running across the music festival, I see a whole bunch of police at the parking lot for the music festival itself at the RC field. So I don't make my way over to the Waolani People's Park parking lot where there's the AR-15, because instead I see way more police closer to where I am. So I stage there. Minutes later, police start running into the music festival. They start tackling seemingly anyone who's like by themselves and that they could like get their hands on. It didn't seem incredibly targeted. This is something that we'll kind of I'll probably like discuss in more detail once we have slightly more hindsight. But a lot of the arrests did not seem specifically targeted. In the bail hearings from just yesterday, as of time of recording, they said they were going after people who had mud on their clothing, and like it rained a day before the music festival.
Incredible detective work. Only a true terrorist would have mud.
I think a month and a half ago, Ryan Millsap tore up the parking lot. So it rained the day before, and anyone who walked through that parking lot or the trail system had to walk through mud.
You're walking through mud. Also, people are just sitting on the dirt at the music festival. Like, so, yes.
I mean, this might also include, like, useful advice for people in the future, because if the movie Predator was telling me the truth, and it's never lied to me yet, coating yourself entirely in mud makes thermal vision no longer function.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So police started tackling people. It definitely they were going after people who were like by themselves. And yeah, people with mud. The police alleged in their warrants that were read out at the bail hearing that they were going after people who had metal shields, and they said that almost everyone they arrested was arrested carrying a metal shield. Now, here's a few funny notes about that. There was not a single metal shield present at all. There were a few small plastic shields, not a single metal one. And in looking through all of the footage of arrests, the footage that I have that's been sent to NLG, footage that other people have had, no one was arrested carrying a shield, let alone a metal one. So a whole bunch of the reasoning for these arrests is incredibly suspect. Police... So raided once, tackled, arrested like five people, carried them out. They raided again, and this is where they started launching tear gas into the forest. I got gassed decently bad. It was not very fun. First time I've gotten tear gassed in years. Old memories. And during this
it's
time,
like a kiss from a dear friend.
So that was exactly what I was thinking. And I did not. I brought gas masks to Atlanta, but I didn't bring them on the Sunday because
it was a music festival.
Because usually you don't bring gas masks to a music festival.
Yeah, I mean the thing about tear gas and gas masks is that like. When you're used to getting tear gassed, it's really easy to have them handy and get them on. When, like, you're not used to being tear gassed, you're probably not going to bring it with you.
Yeah. So, some people in the forest got gassed pretty bad. I mean, the whole point was to sow confusion, make it so that people could not hide out in the woods. It's to make people scatter, run away so that they can be tackled and arrested. One person that was a National Lawyers Guild legal observer was arrested. They're also a lawyer at the Southern Poverty Law Center. This person was the only person arrested that I'm aware of that was released on bail. Everybody else
is
being held.
Bet.
everyone else is being held indefinitely.
That actually includes there was a second legal observer who was not wearing the hat. So during the bail hearings yesterday, their lawyer said that they were a legal observer, but because they weren't wearing the hat and because they were not local, they were not given bail.
It was reported there was like around like 35 arrests the night of.
Yes.
Initially.
So, APD released a press release that said there were 35 detainees, which at the time they released it was a very interesting term because we thought 35 people had just been arrested and were on their way to jail.
Yeah.
But just about 45 minutes after that, 12 of those 35 were released.
So this was very curious. There is a lot of theories going on for what has happened. I'm just going to relay what I heard when I was listening to the bail hearings yesterday. So a defense lawyer for some of the people arrested said yesterday during the bail hearing that, to his understanding, the 12 people that were detained but not arrested were people from Atlanta. And the 23 people who got arrested and charged were not from Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And... So what police could be doing here is basically, if you're from Atlanta, we will ID you, but we're not going to actually arrest and charge you, but we will arrest and charge you if you're from out of state. So they can continue this outside agitator narrative. So they can say every single person arrested after this protest was from out of state. The cops and the media have done a lot of weird collusion regarding the events of Sunday night. They've conflated the location of the arrests a lot. Police want to make this seem like they arrested people at a crime scene, that like they arrested people as they were like torching construction equipment, which just isn't true. They arrested people almost seemingly at random at a music festival that was like hundreds and hundreds of feet away. Like it is not an easy walk from the power line cut to the music festival, because not only do you have to go through some like pretty harsh brush, some woods, and like jump over a pretty large creek, alternatively you have to like walk down a road, which nobody did. So the police have done a police and like local media, like large corporate local media have tried to make it seem like that this music festival thing is just like a red herring, that it's not important, but a lot of the people that were arrested seem to be people that were just enjoying this music festival. So 23 of them have been charged with domestic terrorism. Most of those people are being held indefinitely for now. The bail hearing is going to get appealed to the Superior Court. We'll see if that changes anything. The judge said that they were not presented with any evidence that these people did anything wrong, but they still decided to not give them bail. The reasoning for that was that the judge thought that people who did not have any local ties to the community could be a flight risk. And some people who did have local ties to the community, they said, still were a threat to the community somehow, despite many of them not having any prior convictions, not having any prior arrests. It seemed pretty suspect during the bail hearing, but that was most of Sunday night. Eventually, police kind of surrounded and kettled the group of people that was still at the music festival hours after these arrests happened. They gave like a 5-minute dispersal warning, and then they gave a 10-minute dispersal warning. Eventually, cops let most of the people who were gathered right in front of the stage leave. There was probably like 50 people at that point, because people throughout the night were trying to leave as police were, you know, like raiding the forest. Some people were able to, some people were just like let go and like were able to leave. Others were detained almost arbitrarily. It's hard to say. So that was the first 2 days of the week of action, and it felt like a week.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What happened the next day? So, yeah.
The nonviolent direct actions, and then the...
Monday.
The events... Oh, no, Monday.
Yeah, because that was only the second
no,
day.
No, Monday is the city council meeting that we were in for
yes,
8 hours.
Yes, yes. So, Monday, there was an interfaith coalition of clergy that held a press conference outside of City Hall, basically like endorsing the Stop Cop City movement, or like Clark, how would you describe what happened?
So there were a couple of elements to the clergy. We'll just call it an action. The first thing was they presented a letter with over 200 other clergy members who had signed that, denouncing Cop City, calling for an independent investigation into the killing of Tortuguita, and calling for an independent investigation into the use of domestic terrorism charges to chill free speech. And then during that press conference, Miko Chabon called for land back in the Wilani Forest to the Muskogee people to stored in coordination with the legacy Black residents of the area.
Yeah, so they were both like talking about the need to stop Cop City, but also providing a plan on how this land could be used. This land that is leased by the city. It is on DeKalb County. After this press conference, some of these people from the coalition gave public comment during the city council. And that was most of the events on Monday that I can recall. Oh, there was the Purim in the forest that night, and that was very enjoyable. That was kind of the first time people like tried to go back into the forest since the Sunday night raid. And I think that started to slowly boost morale again.
Yeah, and I think we should talk about also after the raid, there were a few really unique things that happened. There were a lot of people who didn't have housing and they were housed by local activists. There was the bus network was set up to transport people from the site where everyone was getting arrested to somewhere safe. They moved breakfast offsite to a different location. So there was a lot of work done in continuing the week of action and providing some sort of infrastructure for all of these people who had come into town and didn't have anywhere else to go.
Yeah. Once again, the resiliency on display was impressive, and people's ability to adapt to the ever-evolving situation was tested, and people adapted pretty well. Tuesday, there was starting to be like typical nonviolent direct actions happening throughout downtown. A whole bunch of banner drops happened around highways and interstates around Atlanta. People were
detained for that.
Yes. Three people were briefly detained at the site of a banner drop. But throughout the day, there was people handing out letters to people, to folks like the CEO of
Norfolk Southern,
Alan Shaw. And then similar types of like nonviolent direct action were happening. A small march was led from Woodruff Park to AT&T and Georgia Pacific. There was like maybe 50.
I think 50 is an accurate number.
50 people gathered to march.
Well, there were 50 marchers gathered.
And then like 120 police officers in the surrounding area. Massive police presence. Police caused a huge disruption to downtown. That's something we've seen kind of ever since the Sunday raid. The police have been incredibly heavy-handed in their response to every single thing, whether that be people handing out flyers or whether that be people at a music festival. A whole bunch of police were mobilized Tuesday night near the forest, like a 120 cops, at least three or four different agencies, Bearcats, helicopters. I think it's unclear what they were doing. This is something that we might speculate further on once we have hindsight. When I put together my more intense deep dive, and then today the thing that me and Clark just got back from. How do you want to explain today's events?
So today was a lot of leaflet handing out, yeah, and marching. It was a smaller group than the march yesterday. I would only say there was like 20, 25 people.
Yeah, like it started off being like only about like a dozen, and it slowly grew to like maybe like two or three dozen. But yeah, small group of people.
Yeah, small group of people. And when they met at noon, they met and they broke into three different groups.
Yeah.
And so the group that we followed was just they walked a little northward and started passing out flyers at the Petrie Center MARTA station. They went to all three entrances, and each group warranted its own police surveillance unit.
Massive police surveillance unit was following everybody around. There was... there was a SWAT vehicle parked right outside where these people were handing out flyers. There was like 50 to 100 cops flanking people on from different sides. Eventually, all of the smaller groups that kind of branched off converged again, and police then gave a dispersal warning to people who were standing
on the sidewalk
outside of a Hard Rock Cafe, who were handing out flyers.
Okay, well. In that case, they may have been protecting people because you want to get folks as far away from the Hard Rock Cafe as possible.
Garrison wanted to go to the Hard Rock,
and that's a real dangerous.
I was campaigning for all of the press gathered to meet afterwards at the Hard Rock Cafe.
It was between the Hard Rocker Hooters
guys
and...
on that one.
So
Garrison,
yeah.
I watched you at the Rainforest Cafe. You barely made it through that dessert.
That was different. That was different. I did get food poisoning from that Rainforest Cafe. I will continue to claim.
And I woke up with a headache for an inexplicable reason.
Not because you were carrying around a bottle of bourbon throughout Las Vegas.
Bourbon and a THC
went in Vegas.
Yogurt or a milkshake or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So cops gave a dispersal warning to people who were not in fact blocking a sidewalk. We're simply handing out flyers. People were still walking everywhere. So they basically moved to a different section of the sidewalk, mm-hmm. and cops kind of left him alone. Nearby, a group of indigenous activists from the Indian Collective, I believe is what it's
called. It's actually Muscogee Nation.
The Muscogee Nation went to a meeting that the mayor of Atlanta, Andre Dickens, was having nearby. Clark, I think you know slightly more about what happened here than I do.
Yeah, so several of the indigenous activists entered. So where he was having this meeting is a mall.
Great.
in true Atlanta fashion. So they entered the mall and they found where he was in the building. And so Miko Colonel Chabon delivered a letter essentially evicting the city of Atlanta from the Wilani Forest. So they got in without the police noticing. And then the moment they got out, a large squad of police swarmed in.
SWAT team mobilized. They were not happy how close people got to the mayor.
So at this point, we don't know what the full reaction of that's going to be. We do know that the mayor ran away from accepting the letter, and then I believe they handed it to one of the mayor's running.
there are few more beautiful sights than a mayor running away.
No. More mayors need to spend time fleeing from their peoples.
So, I think this episode comes out, I think, like late Thursday night, Friday morning, Thursday afternoon. We are recording this Wednesday. There's plans for Thursday. There's going to be a large march at 6 p.m. I believe there's going to be a youth rally at Saturday. And then on Sunday morning, Manuel Turan, Tortuguita's family, is holding a memorial for Tort in the Wilani Forest. I've been told that they're going to spread Tort's ashes inside the woods, and that is kind of the last thing that's going to happen. And so those are the things that have not yet took place. But we've explained in pretty excruciating detail some of what's happened so far. So yeah, that's kind of the current state of on the ground at the Week of Action. I guess, Robert, do you have any questions for Clark as someone who's kind of been on the ground in Atlanta for years covering Stop Cop City?
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious what over the last few weeks, like you've had some direct clashes with the police that have ended in a variety of ways. Broadly speaking, is there anything that you're kind of leaning towards this doesn't work? And is there anything you're kind of leaning towards this seems to work really well?
So there is something to be said for the more aggressive actions, and I think they serve their purpose. And there was definitely something to be said for the forest occupation. It continued the movement until there was a groundswell of support. So at this point, I think the actions have sort of switched gear into more nonviolent direct actions as we're seeing this week. And I think that those actions will continue. I'm sure the anarchist contingent will continue to do some other more aggressive, shall we say, direct actions.
Yeah.
And all of these work. We have a large swath of different avenues of engagement that the movement has developed, and each of them has their place. And if they're used in the proper place, they're used to great effect.
I think one kind of change that has happened, we've seen a bit of a decrease in the types of like nighttime sabotage, like the sort of like attack and disappear tactics that was really popular in like the early days of the occupation of the forced occupation of people living and camping out in the woods. And you know, the because like the last two much more like militant actions were done during the daytime, during like large rallies. There was the protest on Saturday after Tortuguita was killed, where a cop car was torched. Then there was this protest on Sunday night, that people marched to the power line cut, and then the police started doing repression at the music festival. But like those things were happening like during like before the sun was setting. So I think that is one interesting change. I feel like some people are definitely thinking about this, especially because there's been 23 people arrested during this week of action, and they're being held in jail. And we have no idea when they're going to be able to have the option of getting out. So I think this is something that people are thinking about in terms of how they are doing direct action and how their involvement in direct action will affect people who did not participate, like with people at the music festival, mm-hmm. who were not present at the power line cut direct action, and how some of those people are undoubtedly now facing like punishment from the state. So I feel like there is definitely going to be some discussion about that. I've seen discussion about this threat in the city. But I mean, the week of action is still ongoing. It is only Wednesday. It feels like it's been a month, but it's only mm-hmm. been like 3 or 4 days. But I mean, it's people are in this for the long haul. We're starting to see more solidarity from groups that are less militant, like with the Interfaith Coalition, right? Like you're not. I don't think any of like the priests or the clergy were there throwing Molotov cocktails at the surveillance tower. Yet the very next day, they're standing outside of City Hall and demanding the same things that the people throwing Molotovs are demanding.
And it should be noted that they didn't denounce that. It is solidarity really nice. Across yeah. the movement.
Absolutely. They talked about how them as clergy, in the history of Abrahamic religions, how many people associated and are the figureheads of such religions have been killed by the state, and how often these religions have been in opposition to the state during their formative years.
I just can't think of any prominent Christian figures or Jewish figures who were murdered by the state. That's just nothing's coming up right
None.
Now.
None. Zero. Yeah, no, I grew up Christian and I can't really remember anyone.
Mm-hmm. So that is the week of action so far. Cool. There will certainly be a more detailed deep dive with like analysis and like, you know, a narrative through line in the coming weeks as we're actually able to like look back on what has happened.
Of course.
Interviews with more people who are like actually involved, interviews with like organizers, protesters, forest defenders. But despite the massive amount of repression that we've seen on Sunday, the increasingly like heavy-handed response police have had to both direct action that includes property destruction and nonviolent direct action, despite all that, people are still continuing to be in the woods. They are not letting it scare them away. The woods are still a place that the people are able to like exist in. They're still able to live together in the woods, stay in the woods, The cops don't like being in the woods.
No, there's a real fear.
That's why they're trying to tear them down. Yes.
the cops are still very much scared of the woods. People have not let the violence shown by police scare them away from wanting to stay in the forest. So that is something that continued every day. There's been like guided tours throughout the forest, showing off the different types of plants, the different sections of the woods, different old campsites that people have slept at. It's been pretty nice to see with just the incredible level of resilience.
Well, I know that I am, and I'm sure many people are kind of watching this from a distance and very happy to see that folks are continuing to adapt and endure and take punches. It's unfortunate that the punches keep coming, but the ability of the community to take those hits and continue iterating and adapting remains tremendously impressive. I think kind of the note that makes most sense to end on is to say that this is still a winnable fight.
Absolutely. And that is a sentiment that literally everyone on the ground shares. Like, we are at a point where, like, people keep saying, like, at this point, they have to win. Like there is no other option than winning. And people have the ability to win. This is a winnable fight. And that is something that people continue to talk about. And that is why people are fighting so hard. That's why people are risking getting these ridiculous charges, because they know that this fight is both worth it and they know this fight is winnable. Like the actions and the risks that people are taking are not for nothing. Like they know that it is impactful, and there is a very good chance that this will lead to victory and will lead to the forest being preserved, to being protected, and being able to continue to grow.
It does have a feeling of inevitability that they will win, that we will win. I don't know what the appropriate way to say that is as a journalist, but the feeling is that Cop City will not be built. And that is something that's shared, I think, by all of the activists in this city.
And I guess the last thing I'll say is Atlanta Solidarity Fund. If you've been listening to any of our coverage, you should already know what it is. You can find the Solidarity Fund at atlsolidarity.org. You can donate there to help the forest defenders and, you know, anyone who was arrested in relation to this with legal expenses, lawyers, that sort of thing.
That's going to do it for this episode, and we'll have more from you, Garrison, and more from Atlanta soon. Until next time, everybody, keep an eye on shit.
It Could Happen Here is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find sources for It Could Happen Here updated monthly at coolzonemedia.com/sources. Thanks for listening.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching,
Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.